again for tuning in today. This is Brad Bailey with you again as we discuss the paragraphs individually from the New Testament Baptist Confession. And just to remind you once again, you can find the entire confession when you visit us online at newtestamentbaptists.com. There's also contact information there if you'd like to know more about this website and you'd like to know more about our local church ministry. You can send it to us. It comes directly to our inbox. NewTestamentBaptists.com is where you can contact us today. We are hastening forward today to paragraph number 15 in the New Testament Baptist Confession, and it reads as follows. Generations of observation now offer the unfortunate perspective and conclusion that the current state of many independent fundamental Baptist teachings are indeed unfruitful. Even if our core skills do not include theology, observation tells us that the empirical evidence concludes that independent Baptists are lacking in certain areas. While there remains lingering merit among independent fundamental Baptists, it is obvious that the denomination in general is suffering from a pervasive removal of God's blessing, resulting in scandal, severe attrition, spiritual lethargy, waste, and mass exodus. Now that's paragraph 15, if correctly read, from the New Testament Baptist Confession. And this one is a hard-hitting paragraph. Earlier, when we discussed paragraph number 14, the fact of slavery that is being imposed upon people among many independent fundamental Baptist congregations, we discovered that many, many people do not know that there's anything else. With the advent of the internet, with social media, even as early as days of radio broadcasts and things of that nature, people began to discover that there were alternatives. And sadly, some of those alternatives were not healthy, were not good. It has been my contention from the beginning that people who are getting away from the moniker of independent fundamental need to be careful not to go too far left, not to go into the other ditch. You see, there's a ditch on the right-hand side of the road where right-wing extremists get into that ditch and get buried in that ditch. And then there's also a ditch on the left-hand side of the road of the faith. It is my contention that we have to come back to the middle ground of Bible-believing Christianity. And I hope that the New Testament Baptist Confession represents that middle ground as best as we possibly can articulate it. There are people, as we discussed last time, who don't know anything other than independent fundamental Baptist. I was just thinking of a preacher who recently has exited the fundamental Baptist movement, and his testimony after coming out was he had no idea that there was anything else. He got saved in an independent fundamental Baptist church. He was called to he was married, called to preach, ordained, all of it isolated to the independent fundamental Baptist movement. And having not known anything else, he sort of took in the dogma that there is nothing else, that we are it. We are the best that God has. And I would contend today that if independent Baptists are the best that God has, then the kingdom of God is in desperate trouble. This paragraph, paragraph number 15, really begins to get down to the cutting edge of some of the things that are wrong and toxic in the independent Baptist movement. We'll begin with sentence number one in paragraph number 15. Generations of observation now offer the unfortunate perspective and conclusion that the current state of many independent fundamental Baptist teachings are indeed unfruitful. These observations, for me, began back in the 1990s. But these observations for others extend even earlier than that. Dr. Harold B. Seitler, for example, way back in the 80s, began to see some trends among independent Baptists that caused him to come to the pulpit with a message warning that independent Baptists were headed down a very dangerous road. Dr. Seitler was a fundamentalist. Dr. Seitler was a man of faith. He was a self-declared independent fundamental Baptist, but more than that, Dr. Seitler was a man of the Word. And Dr. Seitler, by many, was viewed to be too permissive. By many who knew Harold B. Seitler, they did not see him as a champion of the independent fundamental Baptist church because he wasn't harsh enough. He was not confrontational enough. So Dr. Seitler began to feel the heat all those years ago when he started Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, in the 1940s, in the 1950s, the early days of Tabernacle Baptist Church in the 50s. Dr. Seitler saw enormous problems beginning to develop. By the time the 80s arrived, Dr. Seitler was championing the cause to stay in the middle of the road. And he was a genuine and what I would classify as a true fundamentalist. He stayed true to God's Word, not the dogma of the independent Baptist movement, but to the fundamentals of God's Word. And for that, he will always be a hero in my book. My own pastor, who is a champion of this cause, he understood the need for balance. And so these men began to observe, even before me, they began to observe an erosion that was taking place among independent fundamental Baptists. And what I've called here in the confession, unfruitful teachings, fundamental Baptist teachings that became known to be unfruitful. I want to stay with that terminology, if we can, for just a few moments here. What we are observing is a massive decline in independent fundamental Baptist churches. People are walking away by the droves. It's not just a trickling or a drip, drip, drip. It is a mass exodus that is taking place. And for the most part, it's taking place among the young. Young families are tired of being smothered. And so they are walking away. And part of the reason they're walking away is they are discovering the unfruitfulness of that movement. They are discovering that there is a certain amount of dread when people have to go to church, a certain amount of dread when people have to be confronted with different issues that come up in the fundamental Baptist movement. Paragraph 2 reads, "Even if our core skills do not include theology, observation tells us that the empirical evidence concludes that independent Baptists are lacking in certain areas." I want to emphasize here that there are strengths among fundamental Baptists. There are some things that they are still on track. There are certain pockets of people that claim to be independent fundamental Baptists that are still, I believe, true to the Word, love the Bible, love the Lord, really walk with God. But by and large, what we are seeing is that the evidence is conclusive. Independent Baptists are lacking. How so? Well, they're lacking in almost all of the major areas of soteriology, in all the major areas of systematic theology, for example, soteriology. When you go to a fundamental Baptist church, if you're visiting an area, perhaps you're on vacation, and you go to a fundamental Baptist church, you just look one up and find one, and you drive to be in that service while you're on vacation on Wednesday night or something of that nature, you may hear a plan of salvation delivered in that congregation that is vastly, vastly different than what you're used to in your home church. And because of that, it has led me and others to evaluate the soteriology of independent fundamental Baptists. And there's a major, major problem with many of these people's soteriology. Their doctrines of salvation, in some case, are as diverse as the areas that they are in. For example, you can go to some fundamental Baptists in the North, another group that still call themselves fundamental Baptists in the South, and those two regional churches may be preaching an entirely different salvation than each other. I find that to be alarming. There is no cohesive doctrine. there seems to be no controlling documents that say this is what God's Word actually teaches. The same is true with their pneumatology. The pneumatology term is basically the systematic theology teaching of the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible teach about the Holy Spirit? Well, what the Bible teaches, sadly, in some cases, is quite the contrary to what fundamental Baptists teach. For example, I have observed with my own eyes men who have stood up and given the following chronology of their profession of faith and their walk with God. Saved, called to preach, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to that again. I don't want you to mix it up. Saved, called to preach, filled with the Holy Spirit. And this second work of the Holy Spirit, which we have always assumed was a Pentecostal teaching, has made inroads into many fundamental Baptist churches. They genuinely and truly believe that there is a work of the Holy Spirit that is incomplete. In other words, you got born again, but you did not get all that the Holy Spirit has for you at the moment of the new birth. There has to be some second work of grace or second filling of the Holy Spirit that takes place subsequently in your life. Their pneumatology is way out of line with God's Word. Their soteriology, their angelology, their eschatology, their hamartiology. When I use the word hamartiology, I'm referring to the discipline of systematic theology that deals with the doctrines of sin. And there are fundamental Baptists who sadly are creating sin. And what I mean by that is whatever they say is sin is sin. So if you're not dressing in accordance to the way that they expect you to dress, well, they just conveniently classify that as a sin. This is not good hamartiology. So the second sentence in paragraph 15, even if our core skills do not include theology, observation tells us that the empirical evidence concludes that independent Baptists are lacking in certain areas. I've only taken a moment here to point out a few of those. There is also ecclesiology. There are also ecclesiology issues among fundamental Baptists. The third sentence in this 15th paragraph says, while there remains lingering merit among independent fundamental Baptists, it is obvious that the denomination in general is suffering from a pervasive removal of God's blessing, resulting in scandal, severe attrition, spiritual lethargy, waste, and mass exodus. Now let's look at those things one at a time. But before we do so, let's look at the early portion of that sentence. There remains lingering merit among independent fundamental Baptists. I am not one of these podcasters, one of these Bible teachers, who is saying that independent fundamental Baptists are a cult. I will admit, however, some of them have resembled certain cult-like tactics, cult-like policies. However, I love these people because I do believe that many of them, most of them, are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And for that cause, I cannot treat them poorly. I cannot hate them. I cannot mock them. I would counsel many podcasters who have crossed the line to come back to the permission of Scripture to correct the doctrine without getting personal with these people. And I understand there are many fundamental Baptists who are equally guilty. But I'd like to encourage us to have substantive discussions about what the Bible actually teaches and what corrections need to be made. Anything else is going to be unfruitful. There are lingering merits among independent fundamental Baptists. I do not deny that. I think of fundamental Baptist churches that I know of that are powerhouse missions churches, fundamental Baptist churches that I know of that are still expository churches, that have a balance, that win souls, that love the Lord, that are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, that are having a positive influence on families and a sanctifying influence in their community. I love that about some fundamental Baptist churches. However, that is becoming more and more rare. The second portion of the sentence says, it is obvious that the denomination in general is suffering from a pervasive removal of God's blessing. I'm persuaded that this is the problem. This is the issue that has to be discussed. Why isn't God protecting these churches? There is a passage of scripture in the Gospel of Matthew that says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And I don't want to get into an ongoing theological discussion about the meaning of that passage, but I think any of us would have to admit that that portion of scripture does promise a certain protection from God, a certain blessing from God. And those blessings that are promised in the Gospel of Matthew seem to be absent in many fundamental Baptist circles. And this has, as I state, resulted in scandal, severe attrition, spiritual lethargy, waste, and mass exodus. Scandal. The first one on the list here is such a heartbreak. It seems that almost every fundamental Baptist headquarters has been riddled with scandal. There are sex scandals, financial scandals. It seems that the list grows longer every hour of the day, not just every day or week or month, but it seems like the list of scandals among fundamental Baptists seem to be so disproportionate to other denominations. And I'm sad to say this. I don't know the statistics in other denominations, but I know that among fundamental Baptists, the scandals that are taking place are very disproportionate in comparison to other denominations. And sadly, these other denominations, even if they're wrong, they have been right on certain things that are important. And having been right on those important things, they seem to have experienced some of the protections that are guaranteed to us in Scripture. The scandal among fundamental Baptists has now made its way into the public arena. There are documentaries that are being done. Some of these, I think, are unjust and do not treat the subject fairly. I admit that. But at the same time, there are scandals that have been off the scale among fundamental Baptists. Just in the time that I have pastored near men who have been arrested for child pornography. I've pastored near men who have been arrested for indecent behavior, lewd and lascivious conduct towards children. I've pastored near men who have been defrocked because of hidden affairs that in some cases were decades long. I have pastored and known other pastors who have pastored near men who have crashed and burned. The scandal is real. And I have to remind you of something here. There are so many people who have decided to contend with the New Testament Baptist Confession. And what they have said was, well, we just don't know anything about that. My contention with you would be, have you been living under a rock? Are you not aware of the terrible, terrible things that have been perpetrated against congregations by fundamental Baptist pastors? How can you plead ignorance when there is so much evidence, and much of it now conclusive evidence, that these things were going on? I have to contend today that the reason why much of that is happening, the reason why much of this scandal is taking place, is because fundamental Baptists have departed from the protections of God's Word. The second thing in this short list, they're suffering from a pervasive removal of God's blessing, resulting not just in scandal, but resulting in severe attrition. I know of churches that started with 500 and then went down to 300 and then went down to 200, down to 150, down to less than 100. And now many of those churches are less than 50 in attendance. My friend, by definition, that's attrition. In many cases, the reason that is taking place is simply because the blessings of God are not present in that congregation anymore. It is as if God has written Ichabod on certain churches, and His hand of blessing has departed from them. The glory of God, as it were, has departed from many of those churches. And I have even heard some of these guys who have whittled away these congregations down to only a fraction of what they used to be. And I've heard them wear that as a badge of honor, as if they're doing God's work. And when you do God's work, you can only expect a falling away. You can only expect. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. I understand that in the last days, eschatologically, in the last days, there's going to be a falling away. I think we're living in that falling away now. But it is my contention here that the blessings of God are still going to be true for the church. The blessings of God are still, and the protections that God promises in His Word are still legitimate for the church. So how do we explain this severe attrition? It is as if they're wearing it as a badge of honor. They are. It's happening so much. It is so frequent, and it's so common now, that it is easier for them to say, well, that's just a sign of the times, or that's what happens when you take a stand for God's word, or they'll even quote passages. You know, when the Apostle Paul encouraged young Timothy to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, they'll quote those kinds of passages and say, well, this is just an out of season time. This is an out of season era where the preaching of God's word is not popular. What I want to remind them of is that the preaching of God's word has never been popular. The problem is not the popularity of the preaching of God's word. The problem is they're not preaching God's word, period. And this has caused severe attrition. People are having to go elsewhere to be spiritually edified and spiritually fed. We have heard these guys for many, many decades decry and castigate people like Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll and John MacArthur and John Piper and Tony Evans and David Jeremiah. These have become people that they hated, and they have cursed these people from pulpits and said these men are loathsome and should not be followed and should not be listened to. And what's happening is there's a mass exodus now, an attrition that is taking place among independent fundamental Baptists, and many people are now flocking to those teachers. And the reason why, they're starving for something. Even if these men are not exactly where we would want them to be, they're still going to these people because they feel as if they're getting more edification in those experiences with those types of teachers than they would anywhere else. I was just looking today at the New Testament Baptist Confession website, and on the front page of the website, there's a poll. And I've mentioned this poll on occasion to those of you who listen. The question is, have you grown using resources, music, literature, books, etc., have you grown using resources that were not independent and fundamental? And the results of the poll, a completely anonymous poll, the results of the poll, 93% of those who answered said, I almost always have to go beyond fundamental Baptist sources to find resources that edify me. 93%. Only 7% of those who answered the poll said, I almost always use resources that are exclusively from fundamental Baptist sources. 93% to 7%. This is what explains the attrition. This is what explains the condition that we're living in now, wherein so very many people are walking away from the fundamental Baptist movement because they cannot find edification in it any longer. The denomination in general is suffering from a pervasive removal of God's blessing. It has resulted in, number one, scandal; number two, severe attrition; number three, spiritual lethargy. The people who seem to be left in the meetings that I have preached and the experiences that I have had, the people who seem to be left have this pervasive attitude of where we're just hanging on. We just want to stay faithful till He comes. While that sounds noble, they have abandoned any possibility of prospering, flourishing, growing, and becoming influential. They've abandoned that. There is a spiritual lethargy that seems to have completely and entirely saturated some fundamental Baptist churches. We're just going to have to hang on, quote unquote, hang on until Jesus comes. That's a dangerous, dangerous lifestyle, my friend, I believe, to live. And then the last thing on the list, not just scandal, not just severe attrition, not just spiritual lethargy, but waste and mass exodus. Those two things are, we've already talked about the mass exodus, but the waste, what I'm seeing is men who are grasping at straws. They are scratching and clawing, trying to find some new gimmick, some new way to get warm bodies back into the church. And if they have not already succumbed to spiritual lethargy, they're using the valuable resources of the church to do things that are not supported in Scripture, to try to just get a crowd, just garner the attention that hopefully will turn the church back in the right direction. So the paragraph once again reads, generations of observation now offer the unfortunate perspective and conclusion that the current state of many independent fundamental Baptist teachings are indeed unfruitful. Even if our core skills do not include theology, observation tells us that the empirical evidence concludes that independent Baptists are lacking in certain areas. While there remains lingering merit among independent fundamental Baptists, it is obvious that the denomination in general is suffering from a pervasive removal of God's blessing, resulting in scandal, severe attrition, spiritual lethargy, waste, and mass exodus. And this is paragraph number 15 from the New Testament Baptist Confession. Now, once again, if you'd like to read the entire confession for yourself, you can visit it online, newtestamentbaptists.com. That's Baptists with an S, newtestamentbaptists.com. And when you visit, you can comment. You can leave your contact information with us. It comes directly to our inbox, and we're glad to correspond with you positively or negatively. We would love to hear from you. NewTestamentBaptists.com. Thank you for listening once again. This is Brad Bailey.